This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Podcast of a Thousand Holds. My name is Mike, and it's going to be a solo show this week. As a matter of fact, you may have noticed the last couple of months we've been releasing a new episode every other week or whenever I can find someone else to record with, but I'm going to go back to a weekly format, and we're going to have more solo shows, just me talking about either current wrestling, past wrestling, or just wrestling in general, and then when I can get together with somebody else, like Brandon or Aaron or Paul or Ronnie, I'll get together with them and I'll give you a discussion show. And I'm going to start doing some more interviews as well in the future, getting back to doing some interviews. But in the meantime, let's talk about pro wrestling. For those of you who follow my blog, you may have noticed that I haven't posted myself a lot. My buddy Brandon's been helping me out, putting some new posts up there. And it's because I had a bit of a medical issue that kept me from being able to do some stuff for a while. And I'm all healed up now. And I can't thank Brandon enough for putting up some of the great articles he did, looking at Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor 12, Impact's Redemption pay-per-view. I did a couple book reviews about Shawn Michaels and Bill Apter. Talked about the Magnum TA documentary. And give us a look at wrestler, actor, mob hitman, Luca Brasi, as well as talked about his experience WrestleMania weekend, WrestleMania 27. But what I've been doing lately in the world of wrestling is I've been reading Bob Backlund's book, and I tell you right now, I'm loving it. You know, growing up for me, Bob Backlund was always sort of a mystery. I grew up in the age of Hulkamania, and the only thing of Bob Backlund I ever saw from the old Best of the WWF volumes is either his match defeating Superstar Billy Graham for the championship or his loss to the Iron Sheik for the championship. Never really saw anything else besides those two matches. And now with the network and the internet and other things, been able to watch some more of his matches. But nothing really delving into his history, no documentaries, no nothing really. And finally, with this book, you know, he really breaks down his run in the WWE, his first run as champion, and it is fantastic, like I said. Sadly, in April, we lost three legends in wrestling, and Mr. Number One, Paul Jones, Luscious Johnny Valiant, and the incomparable legendary living legend Bruno Sammartino. Longest reigning world heavyweight champion in WWF or NWA history for a single reign. WWE finally put a Bruno Sammartino documentary up on the network. I mean, I've been waiting for a DVD release since he re-signed with the company. Or not really re-signed, but patched things up with the WWE. And when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame back at 29. WrestleMania 29, that is. But it hasn't happened. And we've gotten some footage of him talking about other things. They've put some stuff on the network. Like, they have a few shorts. I can't remember the exact name, but it's Bob Backlund and Bruno Sammartino having a chat together about different things, mostly about the garden. About 5-6 minute videos, and there's 4 or 5 of them. Pretty decent. And after Bruno died, they put up a good hour-long documentary about him that is just fantastic. I mean, I absolutely loved it. I mean, it's a shame it took for him dying for it to happen. But nonetheless, anyone's a wrestling fan should take some time to sit down and watch this. Another documentary I checked out over the last month was on HBO, and it was the Andre the Giant documentary, and I cannot say enough good about this. I mean, it was, again, it was just fantastic. They had some footage of him. He looks to be a teenager, training to be a wrestler or sparring in professional wrestling. I mean, the footage is just ridiculous. How cool and good it is, and how different Andre looks from when I used to see him as a large, heavyset man. I mean, here he's tall, thin, looks very, I mean, just looks completely different, but still looks like Andre. You'll understand what I mean if you watch it. Look, we got WrestleMania weekend, and I gotta say, you know, NXT TakeOver was excellent. The show was bookended by two phenomenal matches in the North American Championship ladder match and the grudge match between Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. Tommaso's entrance, no music, crowd booing the hell out of him. Phenomenal. I mean, the story between these two over the last couple years has been amazing. The heat that Ciampa had was just, you haven't heard the likes of it in years. Just hatred for him. And he keeps it up. You know, if you follow his Twitter and you believe what he says, I mean, he won't sign autographs. He won't take photos with you. He doesn't want you to buy his merchandise. He doesn't want to have merchandise. He doesn't want anything to do with us people, us fans. And I know, it's kind of crazy. But WrestleMania, best WrestleMania in years, in my opinion, from beginning to end. If you don't count the pre-show, it was, again, excellent. With the pre-show, 14 matches, total runtime, 7 hours. It's a long day, people. I think what I like the most is how it wasn't so predictable. Like, everything I expected to happen didn't happen. Things I didn't expect to happen, happened. I mean, like, for starters, you know, Asuka lost her first match in the WWE system. Didn't see that coming at all. I mean, she won the build she's had, the run she's had, winning the first Women's Royal Rumble match, going into WrestleMania. I just assumed she was going to plow over Charlotte. My thought was that next year at WrestleMania, they eventually would lead to a undefeated Asuka versus undefeated Ronda Rousey match. But instead, Asuka tapped to the figure eight, and I'm not going to say it killed her mystique or killed her momentum, but haven't really seen her that much since then, so we'll have to wait and see what happens. Nakamura also lost his match to AJ Styles. Again, after winning the Royal Rumble, I thought for sure Nakamura was going to win the title, be the first actual Japanese-born professional wrestler to officially hold the WWE Championship. That was not to be. He lost to AJ Styles when he reversed the Kinshasa into the Styles Clash for the pin. And then, unexpectedly, he turned heel. And at first, I wasn't sure what I was going to think about a Nakamura heel turn. He's too loved by the fans. He's been loved for years. But what I'm loving even more is the Nakamura heel turn. The promo he cut after WrestleMania with Renee Young, you have to go find it and watch it, where he speaks the most clearest, best English he's spoken since he got here, saying, and I'm going to paraphrase, I don't know what came over me. I'm so sorry for what I did to AJ Styles. And then he winked at Renee after he said it, and she's just like, Shinsuke Nakamura, clearly that was you being disingenuous and not honest. I mean, and it was so awesome. And then she asked him again, and he responded with, sorry, no speak English, which was, again, hilarious. And then ever since then, he refuses to do promos. He keeps hitting AJ Styles with low blows. I mean, not for nothing, it is phenomenal. Well, no pun intended there, but it is fantastic, and I'm loving it. And I really, you know, can't wait to see what happens at Backlash when they have their no disqualification match. Again, more with the unexpected things happening. Brock Lesnar retaining his championship. I thought for sure Roman Reigns was going to win. I can't stand Roman Reigns, so I'm pretty happy with what happened. I also really dug John Cena sitting in the crowd and his interaction with the fans through the pre-show and through the first couple of matches on the actual main card. And then when Taker did come out and squashed Cena in less than 3 minutes, that was perfect. Undertaker looked strong. He looked good. He hit all his big moves. He did old school. He did the choke slam. He did the tombstone. You know, we got the three count. I mean, he looked like the Undertaker of old, that's for sure. And rather, he can only do 3-minute matches now. That's fine. I don't think the Undertaker should be wrestling too much longer, but I think he just needs to not lose from here on out and just go out on top every time. So that way, when he does finally retire, which I think should be at the Survivor Series, because that's where he had his first match in the WWE, that's where he should have his last match. And, yeah. And again, WrestleMania was great. It's one of the best they've had in years. You know, definitely check it out if you haven't. April 27th, WWE presented the Greatest Royal Rumble from Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. And whether you like the WWE or hate the WWE, you can't help but admit that it's pretty unbelievable a feat they put on to put this show on. I mean, they're in this huge stadium. Over 60,000 people were there. Clearly, these people were wrestling fans. They knew who to boo. They knew who to cheer for. They had the people they liked. They had the people they didn't like. They definitely did not like Roman Reigns. No surprise there. They loved Randy Orton, though. And, you know, even though they haven't seen wrestling there in a couple of years, you can tell that these people are fans. But it's just, the feat itself was amazing, in my opinion. And the opening match, John Cena and Triple H, you know, it wasn't a five-star knockdown drag-out brawl. But, I mean, it was a great, you know, just basic, if you will, match that was enjoyable, competitive. They did a test of strength spot, which they should definitely do more of those because it's just something you don't really see a whole lot, and that was great. You know, and they sent the fans home happy with John Cena getting the win. Of course, he cut the John Cena promo after. Once again, in the main event of this match, of the singles matches on this card, in a steel cage, Brock Lesnar once again walked away with the championship, defeating Roman Reigns. Granted, they botched the finish, but he still won, and he still walked away with the title. So that surprised me. You know, Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles went to a double countout, which I thought was good because it continues the storyline between the two. Built some heat with AJ, leading into backlash as far as him hitting Nakamura with the chair a few times. But, you know, the greatest thing that happened in this 50-man Royal Rumble match that they had was Titus O'Neil's entrance, which, if you haven't seen it by now, you're under a rock. I couldn't stop laughing. I just couldn't stop laughing. Every time they showed the replay, I couldn't stop laughing. Days have gone by. Every time I see it, I can't stop laughing. Oh my God, the man is 6'8" tall, and he went completely under the ring except for 1 foot. Now, I don't mean like 12 inches. I mean his actual right foot was the only thing sticking out from the ring skirt. Unbelievable. This coming weekend, May 6th, WWE Backlash returns to pay-per-view and also returns to Raw and SmackDown doing all joint pay-per-views. I don't know how long the show is going to be. I don't know if they're going to switch them up to being 4 hours long with the joint shows or and then making the big 4 or 5 hours long. I think they should just keep them 3 because I just do. Anyways, got 8 matches advertised at this time. Got Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. We got Daniel Bryan versus Big Cass. Roman Reigns taking on Samoa Joe. Carmella against Charlotte for the SmackDown Women's title. Nia Jax against Alexa Bliss for the Raw Women's title. Jeff Hardy against Randy Orton for the United States Championship. Seth Rollins defending against The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship. And in a no disqualification match for the WWE Championship, AJ Styles defending against Shinsuke Nakamura. And of course, while I'm recording this at 4 a.m., New Japan Pro Wrestling has just started live, night 2, with the main event tonight featuring Kazushi Okada against Tanahashi for the IWGP Championship, and will be Okada's 12th defense. Hopefully defeating the record that he now co-holds with his opponent, Tanahashi. Anyhow, going back to Backlash. I'm thinking Nakamura is going to win the title this night. I think Rollins will retain. Jeff Hardy will retain. Alexa Bliss will lose. Nia Jax will retain. Charlotte will defeat Carmella. You know Roman Reigns is going to beat Samoa Joe because they just want to push Roman Reigns forever, even though no one wants him to win. And I want Daniel Bryan to beat Big Cass, but unfortunately I feel like Big Cass, who just made his return, is going to beat Daniel Bryan, even though Daniel Bryan just made his return after not wrestling for almost 3 years, because, you know, they don't really actually care about Daniel Bryan. So I'm still hoping when his contract expires in September, he leaves the WWE, returns to New Japan Pro Wrestling and Ring of Honor and the Independence, and just goes back to having fun and wrestling. That's my hope. New Japan Pro Wrestling had a great month in April. They opened up
on April the 1st with Sakura Genesis, featuring the main event of Kazushi Sakuraba making his 11th title defense against Zack Sabre Jr., and this tied him with the most title defenses in one title reign when he defeated Jr. in the main event. However, the match that stole the show, that stole the night, got himself a 5-star rating from Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer, was the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship featuring Will Ospreay against Marty Scurll, and it was a fantastic match. Absolutely no doubt about it. There was a scary moment when Ospreay and Scurll did a Spanish fly off the ring apron to, I think they were supposed to go to the floor, and Ospreay really cranked his head and neck on the apron, got himself busted open, and eventually as well, and yeah. But otherwise, quite a phenomenal match. They closed out the month of April with, I'm going to murder this, but wrestling Hai no Kuni and Kumamoto. In the main event that night, Tatsu Naito defeated Minoru Suzuki to regain the IWGP Intercontinental Championship for his second reign. And let's hope he takes care of the title this time, unlike last time. May 3rd and 4th, the rest of April, we witnessed which was called the Road to Dontaku. And May 3rd and 4th, we got to Dontaku both nights in Fukuoka. At the Fukuoka Convention Center, May the 3rd, featured a great card. This night also featured the 5th anniversary of the Bullet Club's formation in New Japan Pro Wrestling. And so they celebrated that by having multiple Bullet Club versus Bullet Club matches, including a 6-man tag where Marty Scurll, Nick Jackson, and Matt Jackson, the Young Bucks, challenged Tama Tonga, Tongaloa, and Bad Luck Fale for the never openweight 6-man tag team champions. And that night, for more after more bang for your buck on Tama Tonga, we got new 6-man tag champions. Great match. I loved it personally. 6th match of the night. 30-minute time limit. Los Ingobernables, Japan, Duhapon. I'm going to ruin that name. So just L.I.J. Defeated Suzuki-gun when Evil got the win over Kanemaru, but the big attractions were the double main event. First up, Kota Ibushi against Cody Rhodes, and Cody Rhodes picked up the win with his new finish called Din's Fire in 23 minutes. It's sort of like the Vertebreaker, but you'll have to watch it and see it. And in the main event of the evening, Kenny Omega against Hangman Page. This match was excellent. And Omega picked up the win with the one winged angel in 18 and a half minutes. Hangman Page has gotten better and better and better. And for those that listened to my first ever wrestling podcast that I was on called Off the Ropes, we interviewed Hangman Page. That was almost 2 years ago now, I want to say. It was right before he joined the Bullet Club when he was just still Adam Page. And so it's really cool to see how much he's progressed in the last couple of years. As a matter of fact, I think I still have that Hangman Page audio somewhere. I may throw that up sometime. But anyways, Kenny Omega picking up the win in the main event. Hangman Page someday is going to be a world champion somewhere. Rather be Ring of Honor, Impact, baby New Japan down the line. But yeah, Hangman Page is excellent. Night 2, May the 4th, back in Fukuoka again. Another great card. Another night of Bullet Club versus Bullet Club. We once again got L.I.J. in a 10-man tag against Suzuki-gun. And this time it was a pretty quick win when Naito pinned Kanemaru after Destino. We also got Team Kenny versus Team Cody Bullet Club action with the Tama Tonga, Tama Loa, Bad Luck Fale, Kota Ibushi, and Kenny Omega taking on Nick Jackson, Matt Jackson, the Young Bucks, Marty Scurll, Hangman Page, and Cody. And Bad Luck Fale pinned Marty Scurll in 8 minutes after a body press because Scurll decided he was going to try to body slam Fale. That was his goal. He got him up. He fell backwards, and he landed on top of him a la Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant WrestleMania 3, except this time Fale got the 3 count and got the win for his team. At the end of the match, Omega ended up chasing Cody to the back. and the rest of the Bullet Club stood together strong. Chase Owens and Yujiro Takahashi came out. Kota Ibushi kind of stood there for a little bit and then left. But the Bullet Club all, they two-switted each other. Matt mentioned it, that probably just cost them $150,000. But they announced that Bullet Club is fine. It's just Kenny and Cody that have issues. Next up, in a pretty damn great match, Will Ospreay with something to prove against Kushida for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. Ospreay picked up the win in 23 minutes, almost 24 minutes, with the Stormbreaker. Great match. I really enjoyed it. Both guys sold kind of their, how injured and lame their bodies are. Really good. And in the main event of the evening, for a record 12th title defense in one reign, Kazuchika Okada pinned Hiroshi Tanahashi in 35 minutes with the Rainmaker clothesline. Great match. Absolutely great match. But for me, and I think for a lot of people, the big highlight of this evening, after the LIJ versus Suzuki-Gun 10-man tag, Suzuki-Gun goes to the back. LIJ celebrates in the ring. They leave Naito alone as the leader to take his bows from the audience. As he's walking to the back, he gets jumped from behind from a fan in the crowd, muckles onto him, pulls him into the guardrail, jumps through, starts going to town, laying the chops him. He's got a Bushi mask on. He's decked out in an LIJ sweatshirt. Gets to the ring. Boom, 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 boom. Laying the smackdown on him. And rips the mask off to reveal to be the Ayatollah of Rock and Roller, Chris Jericho. And I gotta say, I love the fact that at this point in his career, Jericho can wrestle in the WWE, run an angle in New Japan Pro Wrestling, go to Fukuoka last December, wrestle at Tokyo Dome, that month appear in the Royal Rumble, check the 25th anniversary of Raw, go on his tour, wrestle in the Greatest Royal Rumble on April 27th, and then on April 4th, 7 days later, show up in New Japan Pro Wrestling at Fukuoka to continue his feud with Naito. And I have a feeling this match is going to be on the New Dominion card in Osaka Pro. Jericho busted Naito open. He's bleeding like a stuck pig all over the place. It was fantastic. It was a great angle. I'm sure you're going to see all about it. And then going back to the main event, post-main event, Okada got on the mic, basically said he's beat everyone, there's no one left to beat. But there's one guy that he needs to beat because they're 1-1-1, and that's Kenny Omega. And he challenged Kenny Omega to a match at New Dominion in Osaka Pro. No time limit, because last time they went to a 60-minute time limit. And Kenny Omega upped the case and said, let's make it 2 out of 3 falls. So it's going to be a best-of-3 falls, no time limit contest between Kenny Omega and Kazuchika Okada. And if you don't think this is going to be the match of the year, you're probably wrong. Or at least a damn close contender to it. Finally, I want to talk about Ring of Honor, New Japan Pro Wrestling, War of the Worlds, coming to Lowell, Massachusetts. First night of the tour, next week, May 9th. I'm going to be there live with my buddies Mikey and Roy, sitting in the front row. Main event, Dalton Castle. I don't know if it's the main event. Well, it says it's going to headline it, so probably, yeah. Main event, Dalton Castle defending the Ring of Honor Championship against hometown boy Matt Taven. Probably should be a great match. Matt Taven, as of my knowledge right now, is the World Classic Welterweight Champion down in CMLL. Bunch of other stuff happening on the card that night. They haven't announced the entire show, but they have announced several matches, including LIJ being represented by Tetsu Naito, Evil and Sonata taking on the Beer City Bruiser, Brian Malonis and Silas Young in six-man tag action. Also, we're going to see... also, in Lowell, Massachusetts, we're going to see Flip Gordon and Jushin Thunder Liger taking on the Briscoe Brothers non-title contest that night, folks, for the Briscoes. And I'm scrolling through now to see what else they've announced, because they don't have it in one easy way for you to find. And yeah, I probably could have organized this from the beginning and then, you know, had it all ready to go, but I don't. Oh well. The Young Bucks taking on Hiromu Takahashi and Bushi in tag team action that night. Also that night, we're going to get Chaos and Roppongi 3K with Rocky Romero taking on the Bullet Club and Cody Rhodes, Marty Scurll, and Hangman Adam Page. And it's going to be a good night. It's going to be a good night, no doubt about it. I'm very excited about it. It's not going to be on pay-per-view. It is going to be on Honor Club. If you have that streaming service, you can watch it there. So I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of autographs I can get picked up. I have this awesome New Japan card. It's got LIJ on it, except for Takahashi. So it's got Evil, Bushi, Sonata, and Tetsu Naito. And I'm hoping to get all four of those guys to sign that. They haven't technically announced who's going to be signing on the show yet. But I feel like, seeing how it's War of the Worlds, New Japan Pro Wrestling is going to be there. They have to be there. Another six-man tag that night at Lowell, Massachusetts on May 9th. We got SoCal Uncensored, the Ring of Honor six-man tag team champions in Frankie Kazarian, Scorpio Sky, and Christopher Daniels taking on the team of Jay Lethal, Jay White, and Chucky T. So that should be fun. Anywho, thanks for listening. You can find me on the Twitter Club at SuperstarML. The show is Podcast of a Thousand Holds, or on Twitter it's actually Thousand Holds Pod, and Facebook is Podcast of a Thousand Holds. Come on over there, give us a like, and thanks.